Father, your word says there's much joy in heaven, Lord, as a sinner repents and comes home. And Father, I thank you for that love relationship with you, Lord, just the first step of your glorious plan for our lives. And Father, that we can grow up into you and become part of your purposes in the earth today. I just thank you, Lord. I thank you. Now, these few thoughts that I have, I'm asking for broken bread, that your words would be spirit and life, that which we can partake of and can receive. And we thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. If we can turn to Matthew 16, I'm going to read a familiar passage of scripture that's dear to my heart. But Matthew chapter 16 and verse 13. And here Jesus is asking the disciples, the latter part of verse 13, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. He said unto them, but whom do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou loosest on earth shall be loosed in heaven. As I look at this passage of scripture, there's an understanding that Peter came through. And I know sometimes we like to talk about the life of Peter. But Peter, through the experiences that he had, came into an experiential understanding, not because somebody said so or not because he read something or heard something, but through his own experience of the Lord Jesus Christ, came to an understanding that Jesus was Christ, the Son of God. And what the Lord said, we know that Peter means small stone. Jesus is the rock of our salvation. I believe what the Lord was telling Peter there is that he always heard from the Father and did and said those things that his Father said. Now Peter was starting to hear too. In other words, he was just a small stone, but he was becoming of that same substance that the Lord was. He was coming into that same place of hearing. And that on that place of hearing, the Lord was going to build his church. I will give you the keys of the kingdom. Well, what is the key? It's a word. It's the right word at the right time. Not because we are saying it, but because the Holy Spirit has quickened it and we're echoing it. And we're speaking it. But I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And there's an authority as you carry the word of the Lord. Again, it's not our authority, it's his authority. And the fact that we are in right relationship with him, we're in right relationship with the blood, we're in right relationship with the cross, Therefore, we carry the authority of his name because we're coming to a place of hearing and speaking those things he is saying and doing those things he is quickening. And the Lord said that on this he was going to build his church and that the gates of hell would not prevail against it. Sometimes I think we need to remember that the gates of hell will not prevail against the church, but the Lord is building his church and giving the church the keys of the kingdom. It was after this that there came an intervention of God beyond what Peter or the other disciples could have believed for or prayed for, because it was beyond their present understanding. And I think it's so important that we don't limit God to what we know and understand, but open the door for him to be who he wants to be and do what he wants to do the way he wants to do it. But in Acts chapter 10, again, another familiar scripture, I'm going to where it's talking about Cornelius, a Gentile, but he was a man of prayer. He was a man who gave alms. He was a man who was pleasing in the sight of God. And it was while he was praying one day that the Lord told him that the Lord had heard his prayers and instructed Cornelius to send two men to go get Peter. Meanwhile, Peter was praying. And that's what I want us to hear, that Cornelius was praying. Peter was praying. As Peter was praying, the Lord moved him beyond his present theological understanding. The Lord gave him a vision and three times told him that which he had cleansed, that he was not to call unclean. And then the Lord told him that these men were going to come and seek him and that he was to go with them. So Peter goes with them to Cornelius' house. And what Peter says, you know, it's unlawful for a Jew to come into the house of someone from another nation. But the Lord has showed me. The Lord has moved me beyond my present understanding. The Lord has moved me beyond my doctrinal stance. The Lord has moved me beyond my theological persuasion to understand that which he has cleansed, I am not to call unclean. So here I am. In spite of everything I thought I knew and understood, here I am. Now, why did you send for me? So Cornelius tells him about how he was praying and had a vision, and he was instructed to send for him. And he tells Peter, now you did good to come, because this is the Lord. That is what he's basically saying. And he says, now we're here to hear. What a poise of spirit. We are here to hear all the things that the Lord has spoken to you. And in Acts chapter 10, verse 34, Peter says, well, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation, he that fears him and works righteousness is accepted of him. And he begins to share the gospel. He begins to share the Lord Jesus Christ. He begins to share about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe there comes a point in our lives where the truth becomes alive and enlightened in our hearts. Maybe Peter had even heard the Lord saying, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whosoever would believe on him. He heard many of the words of Jesus, but that understanding of whosoever did not come until there came that hearing ear, that inner revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ that the Lord continued to build on and cause to grow, where all of a sudden he realized, hey, Jesus isn't a respecter of any person. And all whosoever would believe, they are welcome to come. And as he begins to share the gospel and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, just talking about Jesus, just talking about the resurrection, the Holy Ghost fell on those who were listening. And Peter and those who were with him were absolutely astonished that the Holy Spirit was given to the Gentiles as well. And what they said, can any man forbid water that they should not be baptized, which has received the Holy Ghost as well as us? Then Peter goes back to Jerusalem. Fortunately, he had a few people with him as he went back to Jerusalem who were also witness of that which had taken place. And he begins to rehearse to the Jews in Jerusalem who are contending with him that which the Lord had done. And what the Jews say in Jerusalem as they listen to what happened, Acts chapter 11, verse 17, "For as much then as God gave them the like gift as he did unto us who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I," this is Peter speaking here, "what was I that I could withstand God?" Peter is rehearsing what has happened, and he's saying, who was I to withstand God? God was doing this. Who was I to try to stop it? And it says here that then the Jews held their peace and that they glorified God, saying, then to the Gentiles too, God has given repentance unto life. And the church grew. It's what the Lord said. On this rock, on this place of hearing, of this place of understanding inner revelation, of knowing the Lord Jesus Christ, I am going to build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. The church grew as the Jew and the Gentile came together. Christians were scattered abroad through persecution, which caused the gospel to be shared in many places. The ways of God, that which he allows, that which he works for good, that which he turns for good. His ways are not always our ways. His thoughts are thoughts. But God is a good God. He has a plan. He has a purpose. And he's a God we can know. And who has invited us to be a part of that which he is doing today. Looking back at the early church, what happened, that intervention of God, they could not have prayed for that to happen because it was beyond their understanding. They had no faith. They had no expectation of Gentiles being added to the church, of the Holy Spirit being poured out on people from other nations. But yet, as they were spending time in prayer, as they were fasting, as they were moving in obedience to what they did understand, the Lord was able to speak and to move and bring them forward into the fullness of his plan and the fullness of his purpose. And what has been echoing in my heart is that question that the Lord asked Peter, though as if he's asking me, and as if he's asking you, who do you say that I am? Not what did you hear at church, what did you hear on the radio, what did the television preacher say? But you, who do you say that I am? Who have you come to know me as? And I can believe that we can make a parallel here, that we are again living in a transitional time. And that we yet need a move of God in this nation. I so appreciated the worship this morning, just that intercession for the presence of God. I believe it goes way beyond this meeting to a heart cry for this nation and nations. It's not just America, though we desperately need a move of God in our country. I believe the Lord is going to pour out his spirit on our youth, and they're going to come to know the Lord. They'll know truth, that their eyes will become unblinded and they'll be able to make choices, right choices. Sometimes you don't know you have a choice until you've been set free enough to realize it. And I believe that there's coming a releasing of the presence of God, that which has blinded the minds of people will be pushed back so that they can see truth and make a choice. And I believe that there's a harvest coming into the church, even as Alan was singing about. Those coming home, but those also coming to know where their home is. And I believe that the key to that which God would yet do in our nation, which we so desperately need, that the key is prayer, times of praying. Sometimes when we pray, we're so busy telling God what to do and how to do it. But as we're willing to come into his presence, to focus on him, to love him, to adore him, to worship him, as we're allowing other things to be washed out or displaced from our lives so we can more fully focus on him. So that we can be brought into closer fellowship with him. Then we learn to hear his heart, to know his mind, to know his thoughts. I use this example sometimes that somebody had asked me once why my dad said a particular thing. Well, I didn't even know if he ever said it. But I knew my dad, and if he did say it, I knew why he probably said it. And later I went back and I asked him, and he said, "You're absolutely right." Well, how did I know that? Through spending time with him. I came to know his person, his way of thinking. I came to know his heart. Not just memorize certain words that he spoke. But I came to know him. And that's the place the Lord is inviting us up into. That place of intimacy, of relationship. That even as Abraham, he was just sitting in the door of his tent in the heat of the day. But the Lord came in a theophany. The Lord came Now, there were all kinds of unfulfilled promises in Abraham's life. But yet, Abraham's poise of spirit, it wasn't all about, well, what's happening? Why hasn't this happened yet? What's going on here? But Abraham said, you came that I might refresh you. Let me refresh you. Let me wash your feet. Let me prepare you a meal. And in that atmosphere, the Lord said, shouldn't I share with Abraham, my friend, that which I'm about to do? And the Lord shared his heart, his intention, his plan. And Abraham, knowing the Lord, began to make intercession according to the heart of God, that the righteous would not perish with the ungodly. And the word says that the angel actually took Lot by the hand and brought him out when he would have lingered, because he remembered Abraham and his prayers. A place of worship, a place of ministering unto the Lord, a place of being that which refreshes the Lord. We are a part of that which the Lord can take pleasure in the earth today. There is so much that grieves the heart of God, but we are that which the Lord can take pleasure in. We are that place of fellowship, of communion, where the Lord can share his heart. And he's inviting us to be a part of that which he would do. Prayer, worship, intercession, they all link together. Times in our prayer closet, times of corporately gathering together. And I believe that there's an overcoming people who the Lord is gathering together, a people who have come to know the Lord. Not someone who fulfills their duty by going to church once a week and hopes the preacher doesn't preach too long. But a people brought up into that place of communion and fellowship with him, where the word is becoming flesh, that as he is, so we are. We're becoming. There's a process. There's a working taking place in our hearts and our lives, where we're becoming as he is, a reflection of him, a sample of him, a witness of him, carriers of his presence, where that which separates me from him is being removed from my life so that I can be brought closer. He's making us compatible with him. You know, to become compatible, sometimes some things have to change in one party or the other. And God never changes. So you know who's going to be doing the yielding as God works. The goodness of God, the love of God. Alan was singing about it today. The long-suffering of the Lord. His joy as we're coming home to him in every area of our lives. Who do you say that I am? We need to know. We need to know who the Lord is in a very, very personal way. There is an escalation of darkness. We're living in very volatile times. A lot is going on in a lot of places. We need to know who the Lord Jesus Christ is, his nature, his character, his way of thinking, his thoughts, his heart, as we're allowing him to work in our lives. I haven't told this story for a little while, and I'm glad I don't have a more recent one to tell. But years ago, when I was living in the D.C. area, the Lord brought me to a place of commitment beyond what I had experienced at that point. Whether I live or whether I die, I'm yours. Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it's by life or by death. The three Hebrew children, we know that God can deliver us, but whether he does or whether he doesn't, it doesn't really matter. We're not going to bow to your gods. And it was after that that I was walking on the street with my husband, who is now with the Lord. And three guys came across the street cursing and punching. And I remembered the commitment I had made to the Lord. And I thought, is this it? I remembered Jim Elliot, how actually it was after he gave his life that the Lord moved. And I knew we had been sent to the D.C. area with purpose. And as they were punching and cursing, they never touched me, but my husband had turned around. And I said, God, is this it? And with the greatest authority that I've ever heard in my life, I heard, keep walking. And then with so much love, I can't tell you the love, just keep walking, Nancy. What I found out later, I'm walking up the street, there's this cursing and punching behind me, and I'm thinking, this is so stupid, because I should run, or I should turn around and help fight. But just to walk, and I can't even see what's going on behind me, I was thinking, you know, if they knock him out, it's going to be worse for me as a woman. But what I found out later is that as I was walking up the street, there was so much authority in that voice that overtook my logic, and so much love, that it was like a magnet pulling David up the street, and that he and I were walking back to back. So as I was walking, it was like a magnet pulling him. And one person ran off, and then the other person ran off, and then the last one left. The goodness of God, his guidance, his direction, who would have ever dreamed that? I remember he had just a little cut on his face, and I remember when we got to the door of the house, he didn't want to come in, and I'm saying, get in the house, and he's saying, I don't want to get blood on the carpet, and I'm saying, get in the house. And then I'm saying, I heard a voice. I was so excited. And he's saying, what's wrong with you? We almost got killed. I said, I heard a voice. The guidance of the Lord. We're living in troubled times. We're living in difficult times. But we need to know who he is. A simple little prayer. God, is this it? Lord said, no. Just keep walking. The guidance of the Lord, the direction of the Lord, the goodness of the Lord. How we need that today. I couldn't call someone up and get direction or have somebody tell me what to do. I had to go to my God. And I had to be at a place where I was used to listening to his voice, where I was used to yielding to his spirit, to his presence. Who do you say that I am? We've got to know in the time that we're living in. Foundational is our prayer life. And I don't think right now we can focus on prayer enough. We can talk about prayer enough. I believe it's the key. Intimacy of relationship, hearing, obeying, making ourselves available to the Lord, being sensitive to his presence, that we live overcoming lives that bear witness of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's wonderful to pass out tracts and to have bumper stickers, and that's all good. But I believe that the Lord is looking for something more. A people yielded to the Lord in whom he is working, where the word is becoming flesh, where the Lord can find expression and be seen in and through their lives. Living Bibles that others can read. A testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. Intervention goes beyond my faith realm. What I know to pray and believe for, to that which God has planned for those who love him and who are willing to look to him and allow him to work and move as he knows best. Who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? My prayer is for a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that wherever we are in our walks with the Lord, that our eyes will be opened to know him in deeper and more meaningful ways. That the time frame that we are living in, that we would know his heart, that we would know his thoughts, that we would move in harmony with him. That God would strengthen each one, different ones facing different circumstances, but that God would strengthen each one in their inner man by his Spirit, and that each of us would be able to walk strong in the call of God that rests on each and every life. We're called to be a people of his presence. The Lord is raising up places marked by his presence, where people can gather together in that sense of an open heaven and be refreshed in him. He's calling our homes to be places of refreshing, where people can come and find fellowship and encouragement and be renewed and strengthened. May the Lord bless each one who is here today, strengthening each one in the call of God that rests on you and the place where you live and what God is doing in that geographic area, as well as what God is doing in the whole nation. May the Lord strengthen and bless each one in the call of God. Let's stand together. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, we just thank you again for your presence, for your Holy Spirit. And Lord, I just want to speak a releasing of blessing. Each one here, and again, every community represented, every household, just a releasing of your blessing. Places of your presence where you can come in fellowship, share your heart. Places where others can come and be strengthened in their walk with you. Find fellowship, or even come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Give us eyes to see. Give us hearts to understand. Lord, let us be like Cornelius, where we're coming to hear all that you have to say. Let us be like Peter, willing to move out beyond what we've understood, because we know your voice. We know your Holy Spirit, and we're not afraid to trust you. And Father, we ask that your church would continue to grow, that you would continue to build your church horizontally, yes, through those who come to know you, but vertically, as those within the church are brought up into your higher purposes. Let your church grow in stature, as well as let a people come in. And Father, in that which you're doing, help each one of us to know where we fit, how you've called us. A people of prayer, a people of worship, believing into your word. We thank you, Lord, that you've not only saved us, but you've called us, and that we're privileged to be partakers together with you. We thank you, Lord. I just speak your blessing over each one here. Your blessing, Lord, your blessing. Your blessing over each one here. And we thank you. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.